It's been 26 years since I have preached a sermon in this beautiful sanctuary. It was my spiritual home for a year as a very green intern in 1989 and 1990. This building has not changed much. One of the very few places one can return and find the memories unscathed, unchanged, and still very much alive in my soul and in my heart. This very difficult week, I am so grateful to share this service with Frank, for it also brings me security and comfort and so many joys of knowing and working with my mentor and teacher, Reverend Janet Bowring, and her family, who adopted me, as did the congregation, as I struggled to become a real minister. I chose this morning not to address the election and the past months of stress, division, and worry, rather to give us a rest from all that has transpired and return to my original topic, homecomings and homegoings, holding on and letting go. Last summer, my three brothers and my sister and I sat on the porch of our mother's ancestral home in Bryant Pond, Maine, rocking away in the ancient wooden rockers and reminiscing, looking back over our diverse and separate lives, reconnecting and matching "Do you remember?" stories. The old farmhouse in Bryant Pond was the one permanent home that we all shared equally. The front hallway is lined with posed black and white faded photographs of our ancestors. And next to the large 126-year-old potbelly stove and its wood pile sits a myriad of ceramic heaters and oil-filled radiators. In the kitchen, across from the New Atlantic wood-burning stove, a well-used microwave oven teeters on an elderly, rickety table. The four bedrooms display an equal amount of the very old and the very new. On the porch, our parents long deceased, we talked about how our lives had changed, and particularly my mother's practical antics in caring for us, like the day she ran behind the cows at the local dairy farm to scoop up fresh manure for her garden. Wearing her bathrobe and fuzzy pink slippers to transport three mud-soaked boys home from a failed fishing expedition in the trunk of her compact English Ford because they, quote, fell in the swamp. We talked about how many places some of us have called home and how much our lives have changed since we were kids. We strained to hear one another as the heavy weekend traffic of trucks and campers bumper to bumper on Route 26 headed for the Sunday River campground. I recall the days of a quiet tree-lined street that meandered through this once sleepy town and the old magneto crank telephone system and the 10-party line we shared that shut down in 1970. As the memories flowed freely, I realized that the Buddhists were correct. It is true. All is impermanent, and nothing stays the same. Often that can be a very painful fact of our living, as we know, but especially when it comes to the places we call home. There was something about being together in that old farmhouse that lent itself to lots of laughter, camaraderie, and very thoughtful conversation that never seemed to happen when we were together anywhere else. I've lived in a lot of places that I called home in the past 26 years, and each situation offered another definition of not only what it means to go home, but simultaneously letting go of not only my possessions, but of the places that gave me love, security, and peace. I was one of the lucky ones. When my parents were alive, homecoming was a raucous affair, Every holiday brought us all home, especially Thanksgiving. When my mother died and our home, had to be sold, all of our lives changed. Dealing with change is one of the hardest things we will ever do. Our emotional lives, the roots of our values and dreams begin to drift away, and we wonder, how will we go on? Homegoing, be it moving, losing a loved one, facing different circumstances of our living, is leaving behind not just a physical structure, but also the occupants of that place and its familiar contents and memories that created our sense of self, of belonging, of feeling loved and supported. I discovered that to leave my family home for good meant moving on. To move on, I learned how to bid farewell. Not only when I was able to say out loud goodbye to every room, remember its significance, and be grateful that I had lived there, was I able to regroup and truly not look back, but forward into the future, savoring the very best of our lives in that home, and how it grew me to adulthood with all the values and love and joy intact. That is what I chose to hold on to. Homecoming and homegoing is always paired with holding on or letting go. What relics shall I keep, give away, or dispose of? The Donald Duck shower curtain, my dad's pocket watch and his rickety old slide rule. But how about the amazing farting telephone that my brother thought was the very best Christmas gift anyone could possibly get? It's not really about the stuff at all. It's about the people. As Gordon McKeeman so eloquently described, it's also about dealing with change and how much it comforts, challenges, or frightens us. Let me just digress for a moment. On Thanksgiving Day, my mother always said grace. Even with a minister in the family, it was her chosen responsibility and one which she took very seriously. Her quest for a perfect grace began the week before. She would spend hours at her desk, surrounded by crumpled balls of scrap paper, searching for just the right words to share. It was almost agonizing to watch her struggle. But every year, she finished her blessing upon us and we eagerly anticipated the highlight of our dinner together. It was several years before she died that she offered this unusual blessing. First, she handed us each a Susan B. Anthony silver dollar, just like this one. It is this one. Then she began to speak. Susan B. Anthony was a pioneer who fought for women's rights. This silver dollar is minted in her name. And as we sit down at this table, the linens ironed, silver polished, food prepared, plates washed, and tables set to enjoy this dinner, prepared exclusively by the women of this family, I would like to give thanks for the men who have supported and cared for us, by whose weekday labors we are privileged to prepare this meal. When we are finished, as the women sit back and enjoy a snifter of brandy and chat in the living room, the men will clean up and put everything away.
Amen.
It is for this sharing of not only family and celebration, but for the efforts of all that we give grateful thanks. Well, my brother's eyes grew big as saucers as they glanced back and forth at each other. My sister and I grinned at Mom. My dad looked totally confused, his routine gently shattered. The women did adjourn to the living room with some unspoken reservations. The clatter of dishes, pots and pans, and the occasional crunch of fine china did not move us to leap up to the rescue. We sipped Bailey's Irish Cream and never turned on the ball game. In time, a resounding laughter came from the kitchen as aprons were passed out among the men. A new tradition was born, and it has continued every year since, one for which we have the image of Susan B. Anthony to keep, along with the gentle and kind words of my mother to hold on to remember, and to cherish. What could have been an argument with accusatory words said and resistance shown instead became a thing to treasure simply by the fact that change painlessly happened because it was done with love. Homecoming to the places that nurture people, that nurture us, people who respect who we are and speak gently and wisely when there is a need, is what we remember and value regardless of what or where we call home. My memories of all the places I lived are about feeling loved, cared for, and respected, or not, about the people, the issues, and the lessons that help us grow and learn and thrive, of those that make us shrivel up and retreat. Weeding out the memories to keep that nurture us and the ones to let go of that hold us back are what define our true definition of authentic homecoming, of holding on and letting go. When we do go, when time or circumstance, be it of our own choice or not, we take with us those memories. It's what we do with them, how we sort them out, how we choose to react, that can lead us to a better tomorrow or into a stagnant cloud of doubt, anger, and loss. With each object or relic we pick up that has meaning, like my Susan B. Anthony silver dollar, there is always someone, some event or recollection that gave that item significance. It is about change, about the difficult times we have with impermanence, and the reality that nothing stays the same. However, letting go does not mean giving up. It means charting a new path, taking with us all our values, our dreams, and memories to make a new and better tomorrow, one to hold on to with as much love and compassion as we can muster. Home is the place where they are shared, be it in a 12-room Victorian, a 200-year-old farmhouse, or a community such as this congregation. Today, I came to one of my many homes, this one, here with you, to recall feeling cared for, loved, and able to share my dreams and hopes without undue criticism. Even when I was wrong, you were kind, and I learned. We hear it all the time when someone says, "I feel like I've come home." It is where there is hope when things feel hopeless. It is companionship when we are alone. It is compassion when we hurt, and comfort when we are afraid, or a hand to hold when we are sick or sad. It is having a community where we fit, like this one. We are always at a point of transition, coming and going, of holding on and letting go, of deciding what to do with the changes and challenges life presents. Going home to the place of our greatest joy, to be with those we love, who believe in us, support us, and listen to our words and thoughts, be it the home we grew up in, or the one we created by our own hands, or the one we chose to visit and return to. It is indeed the place where we really feel we belong and can deal with the challenge of change with love. We go home and we leave. To survive, we hold on to what makes us strong and discard what hurts us. It is a way of life. Should we choose compassion and love, over disdain and anger. We choose our relics and know why we keep them, to give us strength and hope. It is our greatest gift, be treasured, but most of all, to share and to pass on what good in this life we have been given. Thank you. So be it.